Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this sermon is called Disorderly Conduct. You're used to the concept of orderly conduct. After all, we are Presbyterians, right? Everything decent and in good order, that would be us. But this is about disorderly conduct. This is about getting outside of yourself. This is about giving yourself up to God. This is about throwing yourself out there and let everything come out of you and go up to Him, that He might know the joy of our joy. And I want to urge us in that direction this day, because that's where Psalms leads us. You have heard the heavy stuff from Bob and from me, the serious people, the laments, the pain, the injury, the suffering, the sorrow, the calling out to God. You've heard all that. Last week you heard the promise the Psalms hold of a Savior, though, of a Savior who has since come for you and for me, and has accomplished His work. So we have much to celebrate. And the Psalms ultimately take us there. We keep telling you there's 150 of them. There's a rhythm to them. There's pain and sorrow, then there's relief, and then there's thanksgiving, and it flows like that until you get to the end. And all of a sudden, the rhythm goes out the window, because the last 5, 6, 7, 8 Psalms are just this burst of energy, this scream of joy and celebration, this lifting of God. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. One psalm has 20 verses. It says praise Him 17 times. Pretty easy to get that point, isn't it? So this is disorderly conduct. We're being encouraged to disorder. We're being encouraged to get up and clap our hands and scream and shout. Our Pentecostal brothers and sisters are ahead of us on that. So we'll talk about that. So let me begin by asking the first question for those of you arch-Presbyterians or arch-Reformed people, at least. What's the first question of the Westminster Shorter Catalog? Anybody know? Shorter curriculum, sorry. Catechism. Anybody know? Gene, was that your hand raised? Are you going to? Oh, come on. All right. I won't put you on the spot. First question out of a bunch of them in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is not short at all, and which many of us had to learn quite a bit of as we were growing up, is what is the chief end of humanity? What's our purpose, right? Simply put, what's the chief end of humanity? The answer is this: to glorify God and enjoy God forever. That's how it starts, right? It doesn't start with to obey God. It doesn't start to grovel. It doesn't start to being humble. It doesn't start to doing deeds of service. To glorify God and enjoy God forever, that's our mission statement as God's people. But we sort of lose sight of that, I think. I do. It seems like we've lost something here. These Hebrews that are writing these prayer songs, they know how to do this. These guys know how to throw a party, trust me. Read the end of this, you know. They know how to do this. They know how to get outside of themselves and to look in this broader vista and to realize that God is there, has been there, is always there, and is leading them, guiding them, saving them. And we need to let that sink in deep. Feel like you're alone? Do you have a longing for belonging? Well, you do belong. Because first, foremost, and before everything, you are a child of God. You belong. We celebrate. But we find that difficult, don't we? So let's look at why. Why do we find that difficult? Well, let's start with this. We're Presbyterian. We're the frozen chosen. We're those people that can't get their hands like up above here. That's part of our difficulty, right? We don't see much dancing. Thank you, girls, by the way. We don't see much dancing in this particular worship center, right? That's part of our problem. That's our specific problem. But here's the real problem. Surrendering responsibility, we find that difficult. We live in a sort of a type A age, and we feel like we need to keep hold of everything, and we need to be responsible. And submitting to authority, God's authority. We find that hard, I think, too. Submission in general, abandoning ourselves. We've given up the ability to abandon ourselves. There was some of that in the 60s, but it kind of came and went. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "You are not your own, for you were bought for a price." You are not your own, for you were bought for a price. Remember that. You're not your own. You're His, and He paid for you. And you all know the price that He paid for you. So let's celebrate Him. Let's celebrate our liberation from sin and bondage and all of those things that hold us back. Let's celebrate our liberation from our own darned egos. Let's lift it all to Him. Let's recognize that everything good and gracious and exciting and joyful and wonderful and beautiful all comes from Him. Because that's what the Psalms tell us. Let's don't overlook that. Let's don't overthink that. Psalmist tells us, in Psalm 19, that all of creation, not just the human creation, all of creation praises God. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The heavens are telling the glory of God. And the firmament proclaims His handiwork. You think? Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words are to the end of the earth. Creation is spectacular. Creation is articulate if we're listening, and their voices go out to all the ends of the earth. Which takes us back to something that we've talked about before. The Hebrew name for the book of Psalms overall is Telahim. And Telahim means praise. The primary function of these 150 prayer songs is to lead us to praise. It's not to get us to fail to recognize the reality of the life that we live in a broken world. That's all in there. We've seen that. But ultimately, it's Telahim. It's to lead us to praise. Because that world doesn't win. God wins. Despite all the vicissitudes of life that they endure, the psalmists ultimately find God endlessly praiseworthy, and they invite us, you and me, to join in. Psalm 95, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Why? For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. That's why. That's why. Let us bow and kneel down and raise our hearts up at the same time in praise. Why? Why would we do that? The Psalms tell us some important things. First of all, they tell us why. Because creation itself belongs to the Lord. It is His doing. It is His property. Creation belongs to the Lord. And this Lord is grand. Is grand. Psalm 136 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever." Are you getting the message? "The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever." This is a grand God, says this psalmist. But if we turn to Psalm 139, we find that this grand God is also intimate. "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Creation belongs to the Lord, and we are part of it. And we belong to the Lord. We are his children, the sheep of his pasture. Why else? Because salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. Psalm 136 again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, who struck Egypt through their firstborn, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who gave food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Which takes us to another why. Why should we praise God? Why should we worship God? Because creation belongs to the Lord, because salvation belongs to the Lord, and because of God's very character. His steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. Faced with that, recognizing that, God's people are led to submission. They are led to appeal. And here we have it from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God. You hear that? Do you hear that coming from your heart? Have mercy on me, O God. This is David crying out, by the way, in the wake of Bathsheba Gate. In the wake of having led his faithful supporter, her husband, to his death so that he could enjoy his own pleasures. And having been confronted by Nathan with his sin and brokenness, David repents. And he begins with this, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Message here, right? According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Don't lessen them. Blot them out. And this appeal inclines us toward the joy of forgiveness. Again, Psalm 51. Going from this, have mercy on me, O God, to create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Lift me, Lord. Lift me from my sinfulness. Lift me from my brokenness. Soothe me with your forgiveness, and restore to me the joy of your salvation. Let my heart sing again. Let my voice raise again and sustain in me a willing spirit. Our eyes once focused inward on ourselves and our needs and our ego and our drive and all of those things. Those eyes once focused inward begin to open wider and wider to the realization of a broader vista that says, the Lord reigns, not me. The Lord reigns over all the earth. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord, the psalmist calls. So the Lord reigns over all the earth, but here's the thing. He reigns in my little corner of it too, and in your little corner of it as well. Listen to Psalm 16. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Now it becomes personal. Now it becomes individual. Now it comes between me and God. And I recognize it. And as this growing awareness draws us into prayer and praise, we come to realize that they become one as we become one. And our voices join together in this growing crescendo, saluting all God has been and all God has done for us. And that's the movement at the end of the Psalms, those last five or six Psalms, which are just an endless paean of praise to God, relentless, lifting us, driving us heavenward to sing our praises. It says, Debbie drew from Revelation, all are gathered there at that throne, and they're all on their knees and they're all singing their praises. This all moves our praise from the concrete to the general and from the specific to the universal. Here's a sampling of these last five Psalms. Just hear what they're doing all together. I will extol you, my God and King. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. Notice the alls in here, right? All your works shall give thanks. All your faithful shall bless you. This calls us to worship. This calls us to praise. This calls us to get outside of ourselves and give it up. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious and a song of praise is fitting. At the end of all this pain and sorrow that we come to recognize in the book of Psalms, here's where we end up. Here's where we're drawn to. Here's where God takes us. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious and a song of praise is fitting. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. There is nothing, nothing rote or half-hearted or held back here. This is worship of the highest order. This is authentic, pure, true worship proceeding from the soul and the spirit upward and outward. All joined together, the family of God lifting their praises to him, recognizing his majesty, his power, his graciousness, and his beauty. This truly is disorderly conduct. You get to the end of this, and even if you're Presbyterian, you want to sing and dance. From the first to the last, the Psalms proclaim, the Lord reigns. We've said that all along. The Lord reigns. Appropriately, the first word of the first psalm is happy, and the last word of the last psalm is hallelujah. That's the picture frame right there. And finally, the Psalms conclude with this veritable fusillade of explosive and expansive praise that is just irresistible. So let us take our place. Let us take our place right now in the family of these ancient prayers. And let us pray these excerpts from Psalm 148 and 150 responsively. You should see them up here in just a second. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children, for his praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens.
Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him with greatness.
Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp.
Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe.
Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen and amen.